You guys, and I'm just so excited to be able to preach. I just want to thank Pastor Shelley for allowing me to come here, and I just want to kind of give a brief summary of the Red Hot Preaching Conference before I begin. So I just got back from the Red Hot Preaching Conference this morning, and let me tell you, it was excellent. It was great. I recommend everybody going there. I mean, it's like a spiritual booster. I feel like I got my vaccine spiritually and a booster shot, you know. But I noticed that all the pastors, they were like really funny, and I'm like, I don't know if I could be as funny as these people. So what I did was I just hung around Pastor Mejia as much as I could and tried to steal as many of his jokes. So one thing that I learned from Pastor Mejia is that Sacramento is not really called Sacramento. It's called Crackamento. The reason why is because there's so many crackheads everywhere. You know, I would expect to see a bunch of freaks everywhere. You know, you're here in California, there's a bunch of freaks in every corner. There's actually a bunch of just crackheads everywhere. But, you know, that was my joke that I stole from him. But I definitely enjoyed it. It was a great time. It was a great time of fellowship. It was a lot of great preaching. You know, I want to be able to go there every single year if possible. But if you are, you should be there in Romans chapter 15. Look what the Bible reads in verse 4. The Bible says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." So the Bible teaches that the things that were written aforetime, and when it says aforetime, it just means before. And the things that were written aforetime or before, the Bible says that it was written for our learning. And the Bible says that it was so that we, through faith and patience of the scriptures, might have hope. So we could learn a lot of good examples from the Bible through these Old Testament stories, through the New Testament stories. And the title of my sermon this evening is Follow the Good Example and Be the Good Example. So follow the good example and be the good example. Now, I'm going to go through a couple of people through the Bible that I believe that are great examples, and we're just going to kind of go through them together. Now, what does it mean to follow? It means to go or come after, move behind in the same direction. So if you're following somebody, you're just pretty much following their direction. Another definition could be as well to accept as a guide or leader, accept the authority of, or give allegiance to. So you can just accept the leader and try to follow his direction. So for example, let's say if we're going soul winning and, you know, a bunch of cars are just following each other to go to, you know, let's say to the apartments down the street. Well, what we're going to do is just, if this car takes a right, we're all going to take a right. If this car takes a left, we're all going to take a left. It's pretty much that simple. And once you stop following that direction, you're no longer following that same course as everyone else, right? So I want to kind of go through a couple people. If you would, turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2, and I'm going to read out of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It says, "Now all these things happen unto them for in samples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." So in 1 Corinthians 10, we see the nation of Israel, they're going through a lot of difficulty in the wilderness. They're, you know, they're starving, they're hungry, they're thirsty. And the Bible says that these things happen unto them for examples, so that we could be able to find comfort through those scriptures, because we see through those trials that they face that God delivered them every single time, right? So we can know the same way today that if we go through difficulties in our life, that God can deliver us the same way that he delivered the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. And the Bible said that those things were just in samples for us. So the whole entire Bible is for us. All these examples, all these stories that we find in the Bible is all for us to learn from, and we could glean wisdom from. Now, the thing is, there's a lot of examples in the Bible that are not good. There's a lot of good examples. There's a lot of bad examples, the good, bad, and the ugly. Now, what we want to do is be able to find the best examples and try to copycat those, you know, try to imitate those examples, try to copy those steps. Now, I believe that this sermon could be very important for all of us for the simple fact that we all tend to follow someone, you know, we all tend to follow somebody, you know, and it's a person that we could like. And the thing is, influences in our lives can either make or break us. You know, we could become better by the right influences, or we could become worse by the wrong influences. And the Bible says that he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. So, you know, if we walk with wise men, the Bible says that we're going to become wise. You know, you can't just be around a bunch of Bible-believing Christians and believe the same doctrine as us, because it's going to rub off on you. But if you're with a bunch of people who don't know the Bible, who people who are a bunch of fools, the Bible says that you're going to be destroyed just like them. So that's why it's important for us to be able to follow the right example, and also not only follow the right example and be the right example. I think these two go together. You can't just follow somebody without replicating them. So you should be there in 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to read really fast one more verse out of John chapter 10. Now, the first example that I think that we should follow, and is the best example, is Jesus Christ. I mean, the Bible teaches in John chapter 10, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." So Jesus calls himself the good shepherd. What does it mean to be good? It just means to be righteous, to be morally excellent. And whenever you want to follow somebody, you want to follow somebody who has integrity, someone who is a good person, someone who is righteous. And Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." Now, what makes Jesus good? You should be there in 1 Peter chapter 2. Look what the Bible reads in verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. It says, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." So the Bible teaches right here that we could follow Jesus Christ because he did no sin. That means everything that Jesus Christ did was right. Whether you agree with what he did or whether you don't, it was still correct. And we could follow those steps because he was that good example. The Bible says, "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." So when the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, there's none righteous, no, not one, what it means is no one that does the right thing all the time. There's no one that's perfect. Well, Jesus did the right thing all the time. Jesus was perfect. Jesus said there's none good but one, and that's God. Now, it says in 1 John chapter 3, and if you would turn in your Bible to John chapter 10. So I'm going to read out of 1 John chapter 3, verse 5. It says, "And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin." So the Bible says very clearly that Jesus Christ, that in him was no sin. The Bible says that God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. So Jesus Christ did not have any sin. So that means everything he did was perfect. Everything he did was good. That's what makes him a good shepherd. That's what makes him a person that we should follow, is because he's good. Now, you should be there in John chapter 10. Now, not only should a person be good to follow, but the person that we're following, that person should lead by example, okay? Look what it says in John chapter 10, verse 2. "But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." So we see that when he putteth forth his own sheep, the Bible says that he goeth before them. So a good leader is never going to tell you to do something that he wouldn't do. We see that Jesus Christ, that whatever he told you to do, he did it himself. Now, I'm going to read really fast out of Acts. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 10. And if you would, just, we're going to keep going back to the book of John while we're giving this example, so you could just keep a ribbon there, a bookmark. But it says in Acts chapter 1, it says, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach." So a good leader will never tell you to do something that they wouldn't do. And Jesus Christ is a good leader because everything that he taught, he did himself. He wasn't like a Pharisee who would tell you to do one thing and he didn't do it. Now, it says in Matthew chapter 23 about these Pharisees, it says, "For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one finger." So the Bible said that they lay heavy burdens on people that they wouldn't do themselves. So we see that the Pharisees are hypocrites. Now, a bad leader to follow is a person who's a hypocrite. A good leader is a person who's going to lead by example. And we saw that Jesus Christ, that he led by example. He wasn't like a Pharisee who was a hypocrite, who was said to do one thing, but he didn't. Now, you should be there in Matthew chapter 10. Look what it says. Let me just get there really fast. So Matthew chapter 10, Jesus Christ, he's commissioning his apostles. Look what it says in verse 5. "Then Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into the city of the Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." So Jesus, he sends the apostles unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he said that he sent them forth to go preach. It says, now I want you to look at this as well. So remember I said that Jesus Christ, he wasn't a hypocritical leader, because everything that he taught, he also did himself. So he told his people to go into the way of the Gentiles, not to go into the way of the Gentiles, but go to the lost sheep of Israel. And look what he says in verse 7. And as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So we see that Jesus Christ, he sends forth his apostles, and he's telling them, hey, the kingdom, you know, go and preach and tell them the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now let's see what Jesus Christ does. You know, does Jesus Christ follow his own teachings? Or is he a hypocrite like the Pharisees who lay heavy burdens on people and he doesn't follow them? Now look what it says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 1. Matthew chapter 11, so one chapter over. And it says, and it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. So we see that Jesus Christ, that he commanded his apostles to go and to preach. And the next chapter, we see Jesus Christ going to preach. So he's not only teaching, but he's also doing. And a good leader will be a person that can lead by example. And you know what? We need men today that's going to say one thing and do it. We don't need men today to be a fake leader or a hypocrite. You know, if you want to be a man and a husband, you have to lead by example. You can't just tell your family to do one thing and you wouldn't do it. You know, you can't just tell, hey, son, don't smoke and while you're smoking a cigarette. You can't say, hey, son, don't drink while you're drinking alcohol. It's like it doesn't make sense, because things are caught rather than taught. You know, people are going to imitate your actions opposed to your words. And kids are copycats. Monkey see, monkey do. Whatever your kids see you do, they're going to follow you, right? So if you want to be a good example, what you need to do is not only teach what you know, you need to practice what you preach. So we see that Jesus Christ, that he practiced what he preached. So that's what makes Jesus Christ a good leader. Why should we follow Jesus Christ? Because he wasn't a hypocrite. Because Jesus Christ, he led by example. Good. Now, go to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. And we need men today that is going to both do and teach. We need wives today that's going to both do and teach. You know, if you want your daughters to be a submissive wife someday, wives, you need to submit to your husbands. You know, if a husband tells his wife, hey, can you make me a sandwich? And he's like, oh, God, I don't want to do that. You know, your daughter, doesn't matter how many times you tell her, hey, you need to obey your husband, you need to obey dad, she's going to do the same exact thing. And that's all of us, right? You know, if we see somebody doing wrong and we're following them, we're going to tend to do the same exact thing, because we're just a copycat people. Now, in John chapter 13, look what the Bible says in verse 13. John 13, verse 13. He says, you call me master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you. So we see again that Jesus Christ, when he washes his apostles' feet at the supper, he says, I have given you an example. And he wants us not only to follow his example, he also wants us to be that example. Because he said right here, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. So we should do the same thing that Jesus Christ did for us. Now, I'm taking volunteers today. He washed his disciples' feet. Who's going to be the first one to wash my feet today? Take no. See, there we go. See, somebody want to follow the right example. Now, you know, it's hard to tell my wife to wash my feet after a long day of work, because she's like, get that nasty thing away from me. But, you know, this is the example, though. And what is demonstrating is a demonstration of love and care for the brethren. He's actually washing his brethren's feet because he loves the brethren. Now, I don't mind washing my children's feet. You know, my baby's feet, but I don't know if I could wash another grown man's feet. You know, Brother Nick, don't bring your feet for me to wash, all right? But in all seriousness, look, he says, I have given you an example. You know, and this is why Jesus Christ is the best person to follow, is because Jesus Christ was the good shepherd. Right. You know, Jesus Christ, he wasn't a hypocrite. He led by example, and all his teachings he followed and he did. Now, go to John chapter 10. What also, Why also should we follow Jesus Christ? Not only is it because he leads by example, you know, it's also because he cares for us. And that's what makes Jesus Christ the good shepherd, because not only does he lead by example, it's also because he cares for us. And it says in John chapter 10, verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep, but he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catches them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. So we see that the hireling, when he comes, that he scatters the sheep. I'm sorry, when the wolf comes, that the hireling, he leaves and he flees from the sheep. He doesn't attend to them because he doesn't care for them. Now, I want to give you a definition of what it means to care so I can help you better understand what this passage is saying. So if you care for someone, you feel a lot of affection for them. If you care for someone or something, you look after them and keep them in a good state or condition, okay? So to care for somebody, to have a deep affection for them, to look after them, to make sure that, you know, that they're in well-being. You know, just like your children, we all care for our children, and we all make sure that, you know, that they're okay, that everything's going fine with them. Now, in verse 12, we see that it says, but he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming. So this is the bad guy. And leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. So the sheep are scattered, right? And the reason why he flees, the reason why he leaves them to themselves to be attacked by the wolf, is because it says that the hireling, he doesn't care for them. He says, the hireling careth not for the sheep. So we see that Jesus Christ, that he cared for us, because what was the whole purpose of Jesus Christ coming to this earth? It was to seek and to save that which was lost. That was the whole purpose of Jesus Christ. And he cared so much that people thought he was beside himself. You know, Jesus Christ would go preaching in the morning. He would do miracles in the afternoon, go preaching at nighttime. They said, hey, let's just take a break. He's like, look, I don't have time to take a break. Right. It's because he was beside himself. And you know what? A good parable is the parable with the 99 lost sheep. Now, I mean, sorry, it was 99 sheep, right? And the one was lost, right? And you can think of it like the wolf coming and he scattereth them. So there's a bunch of sheep that are scattered, right? And what does the shepherd do? He leaves the 99 sheep and he goes out to find that one sheep that was lost, which pictures the unsaved person. Right. And the way that we can show that we also care for our brethren or for the lost is by going out into the highways and hedges and bringing the lost unto the fold. Because it says in verse 16, look what it says. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. So he said, there's other sheep which are not of this fold, and them also I must bring. So the wolf, he scatters the sheep, and it's our job to go and get them and to bring them back. And it's sad that men today, they hate to go soul winning. Right. Oh, I don't hate to go soul winning. Well, why aren't you going? There's so many Baptist churches today. If you go to this church, there's no soul winning program. Yeah. They're not going for the lost. They don't care today. Yeah. And it makes me sick that people don't care about the things of God no more. It disgusts me. Why is there so much, you know, people, why are people so apathetic towards the things of God? Like, it makes me sick being around these people. Now, one thing that I loved about going to the Red Hot Preaching Conference is that it's so many people who care about God. I mean, there's people from First Works, there's people from Faithful Word, there's people from all over the country. And when you get there, there's such great unity. We're all in one spirit. We're all in one accord. We all love God. We're all there to go soul winning. Now, there was a group of about six of us, and it's a funny story because we were doing it was a super busy day. So, like, we had soul winning in the morning, lunch, and we had to go try to do some soul winning afternoon before the next service preacher time. And people were like, you know, people will think, and, you know, if you tell your relatives or your family, like, you know, the schedule we had, so we had 2 hours of preaching on Thursday night, straight. Then we have fellowship afterwards. Then we went to get some dinner. So we didn't go to sleep until about 12, 1 in the morning. Then we wake up at 8 a.m. to go to be at the church at 9 a.m. to hear another 2 hours worth of preaching. And I'm like, what do you think? Because we care. We love the things of God. And then it's like, okay, well, maybe you're done. No. We go get some lunch, and then we go do more soul winning. And, you know, the group of people we had, it was fun because it was like, we just so happened to just go by this neighborhood, and we're like, this neighborhood looks super receptive. And it was funny because, like, we seen, like, a group of people, and it was just, like, six of us in the van. And we would just go and just stop, and everybody just run out the van, just running out with the Bibles and stuff. And, like, if you don't know what's going on, it's like, are these guys trying to rob us? Is this, like, a drive-by? And, no, we're just giving the gospel. And we didn't have much time, and it was about, we probably had about 30 minutes, and we got five people saved, like, the first day. And just in 30 minutes. And then the next day, we were like, hey, we need to go do, like, a drive-by again and just go by that neighborhood and get some more people. And we got, like, another 10 people saved. It was, like, six of us. And we're all just scattering. We're just, like, as soon as the cars parked, running, knocking doors, seeing people outside, talking to them, getting them saved, giving them the gospel, back in the car. And then we're just going back to hear some more preaching, back to, you know, get our face ripped off, you know. Why? Because we care. We care about the things of God. You know, we love God. And we live in a world today that does not care about God at all. Like, they could care less. And it bothers me so much when you knock on a door and you get somebody saved and you tell them, hey, look, you know, Jesus died for your sin. They get saved and they understand, look, he wants you to be in church. And they just don't come. Yeah. Like, why don't they care? It bothers. Like, why? Like, he did so much for us, you know, and we can't just care a little bit. You know, and the way that we could care is just by showing up to soul winning, showing up to church, just being faithful. You know, and then, you know, after soul winning, we had another 2 hours of nighttime. We just do it all over again because we care. We love God. So we see that Jesus Christ, he was beside himself, you know, and, you know, people will look at us like we're crazy. Yes, we are crazy. Why don't you be crazy with me? Let's be crazy for Jesus together. Let's love God together. It's just, I'm crazy for Jesus. What? What's the problem? Who cares? Why don't you be crazy with me? Let's be beside ourselves together. Let's love God together. You know what? And that's why I love our church is because, you know, we all care about God. You know, when you come to a church like ours, you feel the love for God. You feel a group of people that just cares about God. I mean, we've all left everything. I mean, if you look at, like, John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness, if you look at Jesus Christ, the Bible said that they came from every quarter to him. You know, and raise your hand if you moved to this church. Yeah, pretty much most people all move for this church. Why? Because we care for God. You know what? And I wish America would care for God because, you know what, we could do a great work in this world, but unfortunately this world doesn't care. You know, let's all be beside ourselves. Let's all be crazy for Jesus. Yeah, these are the Jesus freaks. Yes, we are. We love the Bible. We love soul winning. We love God. Now, what else, you know, why... What also makes Jesus Christ the good shepherd? You know, why is he someone to follow? Because go to John chapter 10, verse 14. You should be in John chapter 10 already. So we see that a good leader, a good person to follow is someone who's not a hypocrite. We see a good leader, a good person to follow, someone that we should imitate, is someone who cares. You know, you want a leader that cares for you. And also, a good leader is willing to lay his life down for you. A good leader is willing to sacrifice for you, and this is what we see in Jesus Christ. It says in John chapter 10, verse 14, he says, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine, and as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. So the Bible says, this is what Jesus says. He says, therefore doth my Father love me. We don't believe in oneness. We believe in the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He said, therefore doth my Father love me because I laid down my life. Now, what's interesting about this, he says, no man taketh it from me. And people will say, well, didn't the Jews take it from him? No, he laid his life down. He allowed himself to die. He was God. He could have called more than 12 legions of angels to save him from the crucifixion, but he loves us. So he allowed himself to die. He didn't have to die, but because he loves us and he cares for us, he was willing to sacrifice himself for us. And that's what I love about Jesus Christ, is because he laid his life down for us. You know, the Bible says that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor. He left everything he had in heaven. He left glory and came down so that way we can have glory with him. Because he loves us, he laid down his life for us. Now, it says in 1 John chapter 3, it says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now, that's a great example of how we should lay down our lives as well for the brethren. Now, go to Matthew chapter 16 really fast. And we're pretty much going to leave John, so. So, you know, being a good leader takes a lot of sacrifice. You have to lay down your life. You know, as a man, you know, when we get married, we lay down our lives for our wives and for our children. You know, we don't live a life of pleasure because we want to make sure that our family has everything that they need. A mother, she's a good leader to her children as well, is because she lays down her life as well. She chooses to go under the authority of her husband, and she's laying down her life to submit to someone else so that way, you know, her children could be blessed after her. You know, and it's important for us as men and as women, as a church, to sacrifice our lives in the same way that Jesus Christ sacrificed his life for us, and we should have the same mentality to sacrifice ourselves for the brethren. Now, that could take shape and form in any way, whether it's finances, we could help our brother financially. You know, if our brethren gets into trouble, let's say, for example, you know, their car breaks down at 2 in the morning, you know, they call us up, hey, get up and go help them. You know, lay your life down, get out the bed and go help them. That's how you can sacrifice yourself for your brethren. Now, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, it says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You know, and if we want to follow Jesus Christ, if we want to be that good example, you know, we have to take up our cross. We have to deny ourselves. We have to deny the things that we want to do for the kingdom of God's sake. There's a bigger purpose in everything we do, and that's all for God. You know, we love God, so it's going to take a lot of sacrifice. And we see that Jesus Christ, because he loved us, he gave up his life for us. So we should do the same thing for our brethren. Now, we see why Jesus Christ was such a great example, because he wasn't a hypocrite. He led by example. He cared. He gave his life up. Now, what's a bad example? A bad example to follow is the prophet Muhammad, right? Because you can look at it as like, you know, what religion should we follow? Well, Christianity, because of the fact that, you know, we just follow the teachings of Jesus Christ. That's what it means to just be a Christian. It just means to be a follower of Jesus. You know, and if you're not following Jesus, you can't technically call yourself a Christian. Because the Bible says that the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. They were first called Christians at Antioch because, you know, they followed Jesus, you know. So you can't really be a Christian if you're not following Jesus. All it means to be a Christian, it means to be a follower or a disciple. Now, I want to talk about one thing with Muhammad. So, you know, why we shouldn't follow Muhammad. Now, look, I'm not going to get into every single case. For example, they believe in a works-based salvation. You know, Muhammad believes that an angel came down, gave him some extra manuscripts. You know, the Bible talks about, you know, that it says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. So the Bible says to just let him be accursed. I don't want to spend time with that because if I talk to a Muslim, I don't need to go over all these things. All I need to go over is the gospel. And there's one thing that I say, Muhammad was a pedophile. That's it. I mean, it's the religion of pedophiles. They're a reprobate breeding religion. Now, if you read in the hadith, there's also like a manuscript that they believe to be scriptures as well. It talks about how Muhammad, he married Aisha, you know, when she was 9 years old. They consummated the marriage at 9. Now, this is very sick because of the fact that, you know, Muslims, they say they follow the teachings of Jesus, but you got to understand this. If they're following, I'm sorry, they don't follow the teachings of Jesus. They follow Muhammad. Now, if they're following Muhammad, they're going to do the same things as Muhammad. And I have this this article here about this Muslim, and look what it says here. So it says, Aisha, daughter of Abu Bakr, some Arabian name, I need Ben to read that for me. It says, was a beautiful little girl. Muhammad married her when he was 53 years old, and she was only 6 years old. And it said that he knew her when she was 9 years old. So it's a 53-year-old man knowing a 9-year-old child. That's the most disgusting thing in the world. And go if you would to Luke chapter 17. So it said that he knew her. So this is a gross case of, you know, child abuse by the prophet of Islam. It says, when Muhammad married Aisha, he set an example for the Muslims. To this day, older Muslim men marry much younger girls, following Muhammad's example. I would never step into a mosque in my life because I'm a Christian, but I just know everybody there is looking at my child. And you know what? All the children are they're being preyed upon. Right. And look what it says. To this day, older Muslim men marry much younger girls following Muhammad's example. The Egyptian weekly magazine printed a letter sent to Amina. It says one of his editors from a woman who was a teacher of languages in Egypt. The letter appeared in the September 6, 1991 issue. Here's a part of that letter. So it says, Dear Mother Amina, my problem is my husband came home with a friend who's about his age. He requested that our daughter, Mara, who is 9 years old, bring tea to his friend. At night, he told me with great joy that his friend agreed to marry Mara. His friend is 50 years old. So this guy comes like with his buddy and he says, hey, I have somebody to marry her. And when they find out he's 50 years old, he says, when I objected, he told me that he was following the Prophet Muhammad's example when he engaged Aisha when she was 6 years old and knew her when she was 9 years old. So there was this one instance with this one guy who said, look, I'm just trying to follow the teachings of Muhammad. Like, you can't be a Muslim and not follow the teachings of Muhammad. That means you're not a Muslim. It's like, you can't be a Christian and not follow the teachings of Jesus Christ. You know, if you're a Christian, that's because you follow the teachings of Jesus. If you're a Muslim, you follow the teachings of Muhammad. It said, the chief of a tribe invited me to attend his wedding. He was 84 years old, and his bride was 14 years old. Why do you marry a girl who is much, much younger than you? I asked. Because my other three wives became old, and when the woman gets old, she'll be like a rusty car. I mean a car covered by rust, he answered. The young bride's father was very happy because of that marriage. So the man was happy because he wanted his little child, a 14-year-old girl. And it's like, when you get married and you're with your wife, how do you think she's going to feel? You say, oh, my wife is a car. You know, after you have a lot of kids. You know what? She's sacrificing her life. She's giving her life for her children because she cares. And this man says, hey, look, you know, I want to just marry a bunch of younger girls because, you know, spring chicken. She's a spring chicken. Now, what's interesting is this. The religion of Mormons, who are not Christians, although they might say they're Christians, they're not Christians at all. Yeah. Joseph Smith, he did the same exact thing. He said he had a revelation from an angel. He said that, you know, he married multiple wives, and he had young wives as well. Have you ever heard of the FDLA? It was like a sect in the Mormon religion. I forgot the guy's name, but he pretty much went to jail. Yeah, thank you. And he went to jail because he was married. They had tapes and recordings of files of him with multiple young girls, and one of the girls he was with was 14 years old and then having babies with these kids. You know, and that's sick. Now, you should be there in Luke chapter 17. Now, what is Jesus Christ, our leader, our example, how does he feel about this? You know, what would Jesus Christ do about this? It says in Luke chapter 17, verse 12, it said, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. So what Jesus Christ would have done to Muhammad was he would have put a brick around his neck and he would have threw him into the ocean. That's right. He would have fed him to the sharks. He would have fed him to jaws. That's what Jesus Christ would have did to Muhammad. That's what Jesus Christ would have did to Joseph Smith. That's what Jesus Christ would have did to every pedophile. Right. You know what? And that's a great example to follow. You know what? We need to imitate that example, because if we do, there's not going to be no more pedophilia. You know, in America, if you get caught for pedophilia and you get charged, you know, they're going to give you a slap on the wrist. Maybe 10 years, 14 years. I think in the state of Texas, you have to do it twice to be even considered for the death penalty. But that doesn't mean they're going to give it to you. You know, America needs to follow the example of Jesus Christ, and they need to put a millstone upon the pedophile's neck and throw them in the ocean.
Right.
Now, if you guys seen the Red Hop, it's called the millstoneology. You know what? And we need to follow that example. We need to do the millstone. I don't even know how you said it. The millstoneology. Now, that's a great example. You know what? And there's a lot of great examples that our nation can follow to make our nation a better place if they just follow the teachings of Jesus. Just go down to Leviticus chapter 20. Those are great examples for our nation to follow. And you know what? Our place, our nation will be better if we just keep those examples. Those are great examples to follow.
Good.
Now, there are, besides Jesus Christ, there are other good examples that we could follow. But Jesus Christ by far is my favorite example. But there's a lot of bad examples in our life as well. And it's important that if you're going to follow someone, you have to make sure that they're morally good, they lead by example. You know, Muhammad's not a person to follow. That's not a religion to follow. Joseph Smith's not a religion to follow. Now, another great example, if you would turn to Genesis chapter 18, another great example to follow is your parents. So kids, you know, God has blessed you with parents that you could follow. And if your parents are in this church today, you have the best examples possible.
Right.
Now, no example besides Jesus Christ is going to be always perfect. And what we do is we take the good and we leave the bad, right? And what we do is like every example that we have in our lives, because we're just a product of all the examples that we had in our lives. Every example we've seen in our life, we're just a product of that. And we just take pieces of every good example and we put it together, and that's how, you know, that's how we become. Now, if you have parents, you know, that are in this room, that are taken to a church, if they bring you to church on Sunday night, that's a great example. They care about the things of God that they hear on Sunday night. You know, after a long day of church on Sunday, after soul winning, Sunday night, I'm ready to go to bed. I need like 3 cups of coffee to stay up. But your parents are here because they're leading by example.
Right.
And before I get there, I just want to say this as well. Like, my parents, they weren't like godly people. You know, I grew up with worldly parents. But my parents did one thing that helped change my life. My parents were married before I was born. And I always knew when I was younger, I got to get married before, I mean, when I have a child, my first child, I have to get married. And you know what? Even though I was in the world, I started learning about the things of God. You know, once my wife, she conceived and she was with child, I said, you know what? I got to get married. I got to lead by example. And I had to, you know, look at my parents' life and I had to think to myself, you know, if I continue down this course, you know, I'm going to end up like them or worse. But you know what? I wanted to follow the example of Jesus Christ and be a good example so that way my kids can have a better future than myself. And you know what? Every parent in here, I'm sure you're doing the same exact thing for your child. You bring your child to church on a Sunday night so that way your kids could be way better than yourself. And I'm not supposed to tell this, but it's funny. So like me and my wife, when we first got married, you know, we were still learning how to be married to each other. And one of the things she said to me, she's like, my son's going to be way better than you. And I'm like, good, that's what I want him to be. I want him to be way better than me. And she was like, oh, I can't stand him. But that's what I want. I want my son and my children to be way better than me. I don't want them to have the problems that I have. But in order for us to set that good example, there are things that we need to do. Look at Genesis chapter 18, verse 18. Now, Abraham is a good person to follow for many reasons, but one thing, it says in verse 18. Now, this is what Jesus says about Abraham. Genesis 18, verse 18, it says, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, and the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. So the Bible says about Abraham, he says that God knew that Abraham was going to command his children. And you know what? If you want to be a good example to your children, you need to command your children. Now, remember earlier, we remember that Jesus Christ, he wasn't a hypocrite. So everything that we command our children, we need to follow those same teachings as well. And that's what makes Abraham such a great example, is because Abraham, he taught his children. He says, I know him that he will command his children. And you know what? Well, to God, he said the same thing about us today. You know, I know Steadfast Baptist Church that they're going to command their children. I know that their children are going to do the right thing. And he says that they should keep the way of the Lord. Steadfast Baptist Church should be known for parents trying to teach their children to keep the way of the Lord. Now, in Proverbs, you don't have to turn there. Actually, yeah, go to Proverbs 31. But Proverbs essentially is a book that's giving instruction from a father to a son. The father is instructing his child, and the phrase, my son, you know, because he begins to say, my son, don't hang out with these people. My son, follow these people. My son, do this, do that. The phrase, my son, is found 23 times in the book of Proverbs. You know, and a great example that we could follow is men in the Bible who commanded their children. Abraham was a man who commanded his children. Now, it's not only up to the husband to command his children, but it's also up to the wives as well to command their children. Now, you should be there in Proverbs 31. Look at the verse. Look at the Bible says in verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. So we see that a mother, she's teaching her son prophecy. She's teaching her son the Bible. We see a mother that's instructing her children, and that's a great example. Let's all be, you know, every woman in here should aspire to be like the Proverbs 31 woman who's teaching their daughter, who's teaching their child. Now, you know, God doesn't expect someone else to teach your child. God gives us that authority to teach our children. In Deuteronomy says, you just teach your child as you walk by the way, as you lie down, as you rise up, as you sit down in the house. You know, God leaves us that example to teach our children. And Abraham is a great example of somebody who teaches their child. And you know what, children, you need to follow your parents because they're trying to teach you the way of the Lord. They're trying to help you stay on that right path. What time do I got, Phil? You got to keep me the time. So, now, there's obviously a lot of things that we could teach our children, but I'll just say one thing right here. One of the biggest things that I think that we could teach our children is to have respect, is to have manners, is to have reverence for elders. You know, so, you know, we should teach our children to say yes, sir, yes, ma'am. You know, when an adult is talking to your child should get into the habit of addressing them by sir, saying, and if they ask them to do a task, say yes, sir, yes, ma'am. You know, and this is what makes a child look very pleasant, you know, when they have a lot of manners, when they have respect. Nobody wants to see a little snotty-nosed kid just walking around, you know, snuffing his nose at people, saying, get out of my face, leave me alone. You know, but you like to see a kid that's very respectful, that shakes hands. You know what? And as men, we need to teach our children to have respect for other people. You know, men, we need to teach our children to be men. We live in a generation today that men don't even teach their children what a man is, what a woman is. How a child is confused what a gender is. You know, teach a child what he is. You know, and you know what? I think like an African community, the black community, I think like 25% of kids are raised without parents. I mean, I think maybe it's just all of America, but I mean, like, come on. Like, you don't care about your child enough to give your life up for them, to set that good example. And it's like this world that we're living in, they just don't care about their children. It's sick and it's sad. Now, parents are great examples that we should follow. And I wanted to read this really fast. I'm not going to go into too much details. But this is the thing. If we don't teach our children, somebody else will. If we don't teach our children, they're going to learn from somebody else. They're going to learn from the world. And we don't want the world teaching our children. Now, they can learn that from gangs. You know, if you don't teach your child, they can get into to gangs. They get around the wrong people. But, I mean, they might even look up to Biden, who sniffs children. You don't want your children looking up to these people. These are bad examples. But one person I just wanted to, like, briefly mention, that's a bad example that we should follow as a person, that if moms don't teach their children, they'll follow this person. Her name is Cardi B. Now, this lady is a disgusting whore. Yes. This lady is a slut. This lady is the most nastiest, vilest human being. Now, I'm not going to get into I just took one of her songs, one of her top songs, and I can't even read it all, but look what it says. Some of it I can read. It says, whores in this house. There's some whores in this house. There's some whores in this house. A certified freak 7 days a week. A whore in this house? Listen, America, the children are looking up to Cardi B. And I'm not even reading, I'm not telling you the lyrics, but they're listening to all the lyrics that she's saying. And we're going to have a nation filled with whores. You know, and it's important for us men to make sure that we raise up godly women. There's not many. I mean, there's so many single dudes at the Red Hot Preaching Conference. It was like 30 guys. And it was 3 girls. Like, where are all the women? You know where all the women are at? They're in the whorehouse. They're following Cardi B. They're following the ladies of this world. And all the men are following just a bunch of bozos. And the thing is, like, if we don't teach our children, they're going to learn from Disney. They're going to learn from Hollywood. They're going to learn from the superstars, the celebrities of this world. And you know what? If they start receiving those teachings in their ears, they're going to be corrupted. They're going to be defiled. You know, and it's our job to make sure that they keep the way of the Lord. See, Abraham was a great example because God says, I know that he's going to command his children and his household after him that they should keep the way of the Lord. So we need to make sure that we're commanding our household to keep the way of the Lord. Because if not, Cardi's not going to teach her daughter how to keep the way of the Lord. She's going to teach her daughter how to be a whore because she's a whore. She just said it, whores in this house. Whores in this house. Like, what in the... How is our nation even playing this music over the airwaves? How is it even possible? You know what? That's like mental pedophilia. She's literally mentally molesting these little children. You know what? Cardi B, too, she needs a millstone around her neck and cast into the sea and fed to the sharks. She needs to be fed to Jaws as well. It's disgusting. Now, not only do we have, like, parents as a good example, and, you know, also another thing I like about Abraham is that he's known as the father of the faith. You know, the Bible says that he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what God had promised him, he was able also to perform. So Abraham was a man full of faith. You know what? And you know what? A good thing, one of the greatest things that you could pass down to your children is your faith. You know what? Teach your children not to stagger at the promises of God. When God says he's going to do something, he's going to do it for us. You know what? And not only men need to be a good example of having great faith, but also women also are a great example of having great faith. The Bible says that about Timothy, he says, you know, I know the faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in that grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. He said the faith that is in thee dwelt first in your grandma and then in your mother. So ladies today, their faith can be passed down to their great-grandson, great-great-great-grandson. And you know what? That's a great testimony. My mother was a zealous woman, and you know what? I'm zealous because of my mother. You know what? And that's the type of ladies we need. Ladies that have faith. Not ladies who are trying to be in the whorehouse. Not ladies who are whores. We need Proverbs 31 women who are trying to teach their children. And look, it's difficult. But remember what I said earlier. A good leader, they're going to sacrifice. You know what? And if we love our children, we need a sacrifice as well. So we could pass down our faith to our children. That's why Abraham was a great person to follow. And there's many great persons. You got, you know, Isaac, Moses. There's so many great people. But for time's sake, I can't go over every single person. But who's a great example that we all can follow as well is our pastor. Now, turn, if you will, to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. First Timothy chapter 4, the Bible reads in verse 12. Now, this is Paul writing to Timothy. He says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. So the pastor, he sets the precedence of the church. He shows the church how to behave. You know, he's supposed to be the example, and that's the model that we should be following, is the model of the pastor, because he's setting that example. And people say, well, I don't want to follow man. Well, Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Right. You know, your pastor is following the Lord, right? And if anybody has any pastor anywhere, the moment they're not following the Lord, you just don't follow them. You know, the moment they go off a cliff, you don't go off the cliff with them. You just follow them as they follow Christ. And the Bible says to be thou an example of the believer. Now, and I'll kind of give some of my reasons why I decided to follow my pastor. And I'm pretty sure we all have the same reason. It's because he leads by example. You know, he doesn't set up a soul winning time and doesn't go soul winning. He sets up a soul winning time and he goes soul winning. You know, he's leading by example. He's practicing what he preaches. You know, and that's how you can know that our pastor cares, because he's a soul winner. You know, another reason is because he knows the Bible very well. You know what? And, you know, as a congregation, we want to follow somebody who knows the Bible. You know, and there's a lot of bad examples out there as pastors who don't know the Bible. You ask them, hey, you know, did Jesus go to hell? Jesus didn't go to hell. Like, you never read Acts chapter 2? You know, if a pastor believes in the preacher doctrine, he doesn't know the Bible. If the pastor believes in Zionism, that the Jews are God's people, he doesn't know the Bible. I mean, it's very clear. It's not like it's hard to figure out. It's right there. But they're being willfully ignorant. You know what? And that's a bad example. You know, and our pastor, you know, another reason too is because, you know, when I first talked to him about soul, you know, he said he goes 3 times a week, and I love that. But he also gives his life for us. And sometimes we don't really think about all the things that are being done behind the scenes. And as I've, you know, followed him for a few years, I've kind of noticed. But I remember he told, like, I think I heard through the grapevine, but he used to do computer programming. And he used to make, at least from what I heard, I mean, might be true, $150,000 a year. I know David just got a job, so he can confirm. These computer programming guys, they get the dough. Right, they get the money. So single ladies, look for a computer programmer, you know. You be living in the hills. But the thing is this. He took a pay cut to be our pastor. You know, he left, you know, he could have been easily in Hawaii. He could have been enjoying himself in the summer breeze. No persecution. Living life sweet. But he's literally going through hell on earth because he loves us. He loves the church. And he wants to give his life for the church so that way he could be a blessing to us. And a good leader, remember, they're going to give their life for the church as well. And you know what? We should all follow that example. And this is the thing. He says, be thou an example of the believer. So not only the pastor is supposed to give his life for the church and give himself up, but we also, we're examples. You know what? We get somebody saved out in the street and they come to this church, we're supposed to show them what a Christian acts like, how they behave, how they talk, how they walk, how they believe, because we're examples. You know, when somebody comes in, try to take them under your wing. Try to show them the way of the Lord. Try to show them the love of God. You know, that's why the Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And he says, and, you know, love one another as I have loved you. So we need to pass the same love that Jesus had for us down to our, you know, fellow brethren. Now, I'll kind of give you two more examples, and we'll start closing it up. But another great example, besides our parents, besides Jesus, besides our pastor, you know, and there's plenty of great pastors, you know, from the Red Hot Preaching Conference. I mean, like, we're blessed to have all these great leaders, you know. And Jeremiah said that I'm going to raise up pastors who shall feed you with knowledge. And your pastor works very hard. I mean, preparing a sermon is difficult. Delivering a sermon is very difficult. It's scary. But you know what? He works hard at it, and he prepares it. And it's like, how can't we just come to church, sit down, and just let him spit in our face and yell at us and scream at us? It's only for our good. It's not going to make us worse. He's edifying the body of Christ. And all we can do, all we have to do is just sit down and listen. That's it. But Paul is another great example of a person we could follow. Now, turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 15. Now, Paul says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. So Paul says, be followers of me as I also am of Christ. Now, Paul is a great example because he followed these same principles. Paul, he led by example. Paul, he was willing to give his life. Paul, he cared. Look what it says in Acts chapter 15, verse 25. It said, it seemed good unto us. Acts chapter 15, verse 25. It said, it seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul was a man that's known for hazarding his life. He was willing to die. He was willing to give up his life for the cause of Christ, for the name of Jesus Christ. Now, this is a great example that we should also follow as well, that we're willing to hazard our lives. You know, every day when we come into this parking lot, it's kind of like we're hazarding our life. We don't know if somebody's going to jump off a building, jump on our car. We have no idea what's going to happen. But, you know, we're doing it because we're doing it for the name of Jesus. It says men that have hazarded their lives. So Paul, he says, follow me as I follow Christ. He led by example. He hazarded his life. He's willing to give his life the same way Jesus did. Look in Acts chapter 14. And while you're going there, I'm going to read another verse really fast. It said, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks. So Aquila and Priscilla, this is a couple, this is a power couple. They remind me of the Connollys, right? Just them two. And they were willing for their lives to lay down their own neck. And Brother Nick always tells me, hey, just put some money in the books. I'm not going to tell you why. But yeah, look at Acts chapter 14. Now, this is very inspiring. Look what it says in verse 19. It says, and it came certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and taught many, they returning again to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, confirming the soul of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. So Paul, he literally gets stoned, almost dead, and the next day he's preaching the gospel. Why? Because he cares. He cares for the lost. This is a great example for us to care for the lost and to just go soul winning as much as we can, whenever we can, you know, as God allows us to, you know, because we only have one life to do as much as we can for the Lord Jesus Christ. So why not just do everything we can now so that way we can rest in heaven? You know, our works will follow us then. So Paul is a great example as well. There's a lot of great examples. I just want to kind of touch on that really fast. And I'll finish on this, my last point. There's also great churches to follow. As a church, we can also follow other churches. And a great church that we can find in Scripture is the church of the Thessalonians. Now, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to show you why this church is a great example to follow. Now, this church is a great example. And look what it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. As you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. So the church of the Thessalonians is a great model church to follow, because he said, from you sounded out the word of the Lord. And so that they received the word of God in much afflictions, so that they became an example. And what was that example? They sounded out the word of the Lord everywhere. And what does it say? It says that your faith to Godward is spread abroad. So everywhere around the world, they all knew what the church of the Thessalonians believed. They knew their doctrine. They knew what they stood by. And it was so good because Paul said that we need not to speak anything. You know what? And we also follow Faithful Word Baptist Church, you know, and a lot of it's okay to follow another church. And the other church that we're following, as long as they're following Jesus Christ, we can follow them. We can imitate them. I mean, you know, Pastor Anderson, he did a great example of, like, putting all the sermons online, and he was reaching millions of people. And you know what? We did the same exact thing. We're doing the same exact thing today. We're putting our sermons online. We're trying to reach millions of people. If you remember Dylan, he said that on TikTok, he had, like, over 200, like, Steadfast, the church, had over 200 million views. I mean, your faith to God would have spread abroad unto all men. You know, we're just following that example. Pastor Mahir was saying, like, on his shorts, he's getting millions of views every single day. His faith abroad is being spread abroad to all men. And the church of Thessalonians, they're setting a great example because they're receiving the word of God in much affliction. And in the midst of much affliction, their faith to God were to spread abroad. You know, people believe salvation by faith through the church of Thessalonians from Achaia, Macedonia, Lystra, everywhere because of the church of Thessalonians. Now, a false doctrine people will say, like, whenever you go soul winning, I'm pretty sure you heard this before, is that they will say, well, what about the people in Africa in the jungle that's never heard the gospel? That's a lie. The Bible said that the word of the Lord, it went into all the earth. It says in Romans chapter 16, Romans chapter 10, it says, but I say unto you, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went to all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world. So the word of God has went to all the earth. The problem why North Korea, they don't have the gospel, is because they rejected Jesus Christ. They closed the door on Jesus, so the door is closed on them. But it's not like we're not doing our job, because we're preaching the Bible. We're showing the whole world what the Bible teaches. We're trying to show the world salvation by faith, but they're rejecting it. So the word of God is spread abroad throughout all the world. In Romans chapter 1, if you would turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 now. But in Romans chapter 1, Paul says to the church at Rome, he says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. So we see, again, your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Now, this is the thing. When you're doing a great work for God, it's going to cause you to suffer, and people are going to try to silence you. And this is something that we're seeing happening to us right now. We're seeing that we're trying to do a great work for God, and because of that, as a result of that, we're being put through a lot of tribulation. We're suffering because of it. You know, whenever, you know, we got evicted before, we had to go to hotels, and we were there for a long time. You know, it's kind of an inconvenience. But it's because they want to silence us. They want us to shut the message. They don't want us to spread our faith abroad. Now, look what it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. It says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So we see that the church, when they heard the preaching of God's word, they didn't receive it as the word of men. They knew that it was the word of God. You know what? And our church preaches the word of God. And we're not like just, you know, not blindly following. No. We're like the church of Berea who searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. So the doctrine that we're being taught, we're making sure that it's biblical. Yeah. You know, we're not just blindly following some guy off a cliff. But verse 14, look what it says. It says, for ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, For the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. So we see that the word of God, right, was being silenced in the church of Thessalonians because he said, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved. You know, the true attack on our church is not what we believe about Leviticus. It's not about how we go, you know, it's about us soul winning. They want to silence the Bible. They want to silence us getting people saved because Satan knows that we're doing a great work for him. That's why we have all the forces of hell persecuting our church because nobody else is doing it. In Texas, I should say. Like, you don't see these people across the street over there. These people across the street are feeding them sandwiches, are fueling them up. No, they're trying to silence the message. And if you notice, it says, look, in verse 14, it says, for ye, brethren, became followers of other churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. So look, he said, look, you're suffering the same thing of your own countrymen as they have of the Jews. So we're suffering from our own countrymen, our own neighbors, our own Baptist churches that are near us, other churches. We're suffering from them because of what we believe. But there's no new thing under the sun. Because the Jews did the same thing unto the church of Judea. And if you remember, who remembers this proverb? Where two or three Jews are gathered together, there's a fag in the mist. So, yeah, this Pastor Joe Jones, that was good. But look what it says, verse 15, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they please not God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved. All we're trying to do is get the Gentiles saved. That's our whole purpose. And look what it says, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. Now, we obviously preach Leviticus, and we preach the death penalty. We believe that there's certain sins that are worthy of the capital punishment. But listen, folks, that's nothing compared to what God is going to do to them. That's nothing compared to what God is going to do to them in hell. Like, us putting them to death is the easiest thing for them. You know, putting the millstone about their neck and feed them to the sharks, that's 1 minute of suffering. But when they get to hell, they're going to suffer forever. When they get to hell, God's going to burn them. Look what it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We'll go to 3 more passages and we'll be done. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, we see that these people who are stopping the word of God from being preached, who are trying to stop the church of God, that they're going to, that they have the wrath of God upon them to the uttermost. That's why we don't need to take vengeance upon ourselves. We don't need to go out there and just try to, you know, avenge ourselves, because God is going to avenge us, and it's going to be way worse than anything that we could do. That's why we can have patience and comfort through the scriptures, because we know that the same way that the church of Thessalonians, they did a great work, and they were delivered from unreasonable men, we're going to be delivered as well from unreasonable men as well. And look what it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. It says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and that the charity of every one of you toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. So look what he says here, though. It says, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God. So that means all the other churches of God, they're glorying in this one church because of their faith and their patience. And you know what? Steadfast Baptist Church, we need to set the example of how to suffer persecution. Steadfast Baptist Church need to show the world on how to do things right in the midst of persecution, how to endure hardships. And the reason why we can go through this patiently, because remember, like I said, God's going to avenge us. But look what it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 verse 5. It says, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. So the Bible teaches that these people are going to be punished with everlasting destruction. This persecution is temporary. It's not going to last forever. Even if, let's say, it lasts for the rest of our lives, which is not. They're going to be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord when he comes in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them. Go to Isaiah chapter 66. And in 1 Peter 3, it'll be the last two passages. So it says, when he shall come to be glorified in the saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you is believed in that day. So when Jesus comes back to get us, he's going to pour out his vengeance on the upon this world, upon our persecutors, upon the people who are trying to silence us. Now, Isaiah chapter 66, verse 15, this is a parallel passage to what we just read in 2 Thessalonians, yeah. It says, for behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury and his rebukes with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. So the Bible says that he's going to rebuke with the flames of fire. I mean, that's horrible. And you know what? They're going to receive their recompense for persecuting us and troubling us. But you know what? We could just keep having patience. We give up our lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. We keep following that example he set for us, because we know that he's going to come back and avenge us. Whether it's next week, next month, next year, it's going to happen. Now, 1 Peter 3. Now, I just like those verses because it shows, like, the Lord is going to come with fire. I mean, that's the scariest thing. It says that when he descends from heaven, that the mountains are going to melt. The mountains are going to melt. Man, that's scary. Coming in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. Now, we see that the church of Thessalonians, that they set the right example on how to suffer persecution. And we see how they had patience. And we also, as well, we can set that same example that they set. You know, because God's people are all over the world, whether they're with us or whether they're against us, they're watching us and they're trying to see how we respond. But how we respond, we just keep going soul winning. We keep doing that which is right. We keep serving the Lord. Look what it says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? So follow the good example and be the good example. Because the Bible says, who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? Whatever happens to us, because God allowed it to happen to us. You know what? Whatever happens to us, we need to rejoice about it. We need to thank God that we could suffer for his name, because we're just trying to follow the good example. Jesus was crucified. The apostles suffered a persecution. The church of Thessalonians. If you're doing a great work for God, you're going to suffer persecution. But we need to be patient, and we need to be followers of that which is good, because no one can harm us if we are. Let's just pray and just thank the Lord for his mercy and for his grace and for allowing us to be here to serve him and to be able to keep doing what we're doing. Lord God, we just love you, Lord. We thank you so much for another day you have graciously given us, Lord. We ask that you continue to give us patience, Lord, and just to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And just look at the examples that were set for us in the Bible, the good ones, and try to follow those examples and have patience and comfort through the scriptures, so that way we can be able to endure hardships that may come to us in the future, Lord. We know that serving you is going to come with a cost, Lord. And you know, all of us here are here on a Sunday night because we love you and we want to follow you, Lord. We want to pattern our lives after you, Lord, so that way we could just be a blessing to this world, Lord. And we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.